Yeah, so we're talking about generosity. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, and today I want to talk about just our vision in generosity. Vision is one of those just amazing things that if we can just lay hold of it, not just get a nice idea about it, but a vision, like an inward conviction, something that just that anchors us. It's amazing sometimes what people will do because of a vision, because of seeing the big picture, what they'll sacrifice, what they'll endure, what they'll tolerate, what they'll press through because a vision has captured their hearts. And so today I want to talk about a vision for the abundance of God in our generosity. So let's pray and then we'll read the Word of God together. Holy Spirit, we just confess, Lord, our complete dependence on your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, dependence to hear from you. Lord, we need you to open our ears. Lord, we need you to give us understanding. We need you to bring the knowledge of the Holy One. We don't want to rest on our own understanding, but we commit this time to you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak as you desire to each one of us. Lord, we need you to open up the Scriptures. Lord, I need you to share your heart rightly this morning. And so we just ask you to help. We ask you to come and do what we cannot do for ourselves. We ask you to come and build your kingdom in our midst. We invite you to come and make each one of us more like Jesus. We ask you to come and bring a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, just as we sang this morning, Lord, we want our hearts on fire, Lord. We want you, your word to break in like fire this morning on our hearts, Lord. We want to be transformed fully. And so we give you this time, Holy Spirit, and we need you to work in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6, it reads this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." This phrase here that Paul uses, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's believed that this was perhaps a parable, a saying of the day. So it's not found anywhere in Scripture. However, the principle, the thought, is very biblical. And I'll show you what I mean here as we look through just a few other scriptures. You don't necessarily have to write these down, but these are just principles and thoughts that Scripture that back up what Paul is saying here. And the first is this from Proverbs 11:24. It says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." In other words, again, what Paul is saying, that when we sow generously, we reap in abundance. And when we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. A generous person will prosper. Whoever, and I love this, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I love that verse. Sometimes we get it backwards. Sometimes we're waiting for the refreshment first and think, okay, out of that refreshment, I'll give to somebody else. But Scripture actually, the kingdom of God is actually inverse and upside down. It says, no, actually, give the refreshment and more will come. I never question about whether or not I'm giving too much or whether I'm overdoing it, because I know more refreshment is coming. More refreshment is coming. And so oftentimes, even in my weakness, I'm encouraged and reminded, you know what? Pour yourself out. Pour yourself out, because God will always give more. A generous person will prosper. And then there's this from Proverbs 19:17. "Whoever is kind to the poor," get this, "lends to the Lord." Now, obviously you could take that take that into places where it doesn't mean. And you're not standing before God saying, hey, I gave this to the poor, so you owe me. All right? But at the same time, the heart of God from Scripture is saying this, I owe you one. That's just a powerful concept in the Word of God, that there's this idea that God is going to pay you back. But it's not just, like, if I gave $20 to the poor, God just paying me back would be just another $20 coming back my way, right? But he actually says, and he will reward them for what they've done. The $20 being paid back to me isn't the reward. That's just equity. We're even Stephen now, right? The reward is actually something above and beyond. So God actually has not just repayment, but actually reward for our generosity. It's actually more than what we gave comes back to us. And then finally this, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus, he's given this teaching on mercy. He says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. He says, as you judge, so you're going to be judged. Don't condemn or you will be condemned. And then he says this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so there's this idea throughout Scripture, there's this kingdom principle that there's a correlation between the measure of our generosity and the abundance of God that He wants to bring us in a harvest, a reaping, a response to our generosity. God wants to respond with an abundance. More than just simply we get back what we gave. He's continually showing us this principle, not only in the Word, but in our life. We can see this everywhere. It's a principle even in nature that we see that you sow one seed and how much fruit that comes from that one seed that was sown. There's an abundance that comes from this sowing. And so as we shared last week, Paul, his immediate context here as he's encouraging the Corinthians to be generous is there's a famine in Jerusalem and he's traveling to Jerusalem and he's stopping in all these churches, taking up a collection so that when he arrives at Jerusalem, he'll be able to give the believers a large gift to serve them and help them. And so the immediate context for the Corinthian church, Paul is saying, I want you to be generous now because there's an increase coming for you in it. But the larger picture in this that Paul is encouraging not only the Corinthian church, but also us today, is Paul's heart is, I want you moving in the abundance of God. I want you operating in the abundance of His grace, the abundance of His power, the abundance of His provision, the abundance of His love, of His mercy, of His compassion, of every aspect of the kingdom, of His resources. And for Paul, the key to releasing this abundance is our generosity. We shared last week how Paul closed out that some of his teaching there with this. He said, I want you to excel in the grace of generosity. We talked about how there's this partnership with God that we walk in to where we begin to step into generosity and God responds with abundance. God responds with grace. God responds with provision. And I'll just say, I've been guilty over the course of my life of just simply coasting, of just simply saying, well, in God's will, in God's timing, if it's really what He wants, He'll open the door and I'll see it and know when to walk in it. But as we look at this today, there's two questions that I want us to come away with and just allow to search our hearts. And it's just simply this, where do you want the Lord to meet you in abundance? And then the follow-up question to that is how are you sowing to that harvest? How are you sowing to that increase? Because Paul, the Scripture teaches that there's a working together of our sowing and God responding with abundance. But there's something, we have to do the sowing, don't we? Sometimes we fail and we fall into this idea of not doing anything, that it's just sort of God's sovereign and it's in His will and it's in His timing. And so we'll just take our hands off of it and just sort of let God do His thing and maybe it'll come. Well, that bumper sticker theology, that mindset works until you have a loved one who doesn't know the Lord. And suddenly your theology changes. It's God, we need you to move now. God, we want you to do something. Lord, stretch out your hand. Lord, bring them to a saving knowledge of the truth. Don't let them go another day without knowing you. That theology works until we have a loved one who's suffering in sickness and then suddenly it's not, Lord, whenever you're ready at your time frame, whatever. Lord, we want you to move. We want you to show yourself in power in their physical body. Now, Lord, move. We're asking you to do something. This is the heart behind the persistent widow that wouldn't let the judge be. That this is the heart behind the friend who was knocking on their neighbor's door in the middle of the night saying, you have something that I need. I'm not waiting until you just see fit to give it to me. Lord, we want something from you. We want to see an increase. We want to see abundance. We want this abundance of grace, this abundance of power, this abundance of mercy and love and compassion and resources released through us, God. We want to actually do something about it. There's a partnership there of the sowing and the release of God in abundance. And just as you know, Michael talked about men's prayer. You know, we're contending for something. We're contending for this abundance of God to be released. We want to see salvation spring up from the ground. We want to see justice flow like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We want to see the knowledge of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We want to see Him send forth His word, as we sang this morning, with healing. We want to see these things come in abundance. How do we want to see the Lord meet us in abundance, and how are we sowing to these things? There's a reciprocation there. There's a synergy there between these two. Charles Finney, an evangelist in the 1800s, he encountered the same exact mindset. People thought this about revival. They thought, you know what, let's not, sometimes we'll experience that. People say, it's like, man, we're gonna see revival come. We're gonna pray it in. And maybe a few weeks go by and things don't happen as fast or how we'd like them to take place. And so somebody comes in with what sounds like wisdom, what sounds like super spirituality. And they say, you know what, again, back to this bad mindset of we're just gonna, you know, God's got His own perfect timing and He's sovereign and everything is just, so we just need to just relax, calm ourselves down and just go about life. And Finney asks this question. He brings it back to sowing and reaping again. He said, what if a farmer took this approach? Lord, we know You want us to eat, so when You're ready and Your timing and Your sovereignty, You till up the ground. In Your sovereignty and Your timing and Your perfect will, You sow the seed. In Your timing and Your perfect will, You bring in the harvest. Finney's conclusion is, we would all starve. There would not be that provision. But in fact, we find that Scripture actually teaches the opposite. It says, till up the fallow ground of your hearts. We actually have to do something. There's a labor that we participate in getting ready for God to bring the abundance. Paul says this. He says, I've sowed the seed and Apollos watered, but God brought the growth. There's a sowing, there's a watering in faith for the growth that God wants to bring. Even a couple of years ago, we felt like the Lord gave us a word, a year of expansion. But even in that verse from Isaiah 54, it says this, it says, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Pick up your tent stakes, lengthen your tent cords. Get ready, because I'm going to bring sons to you. There's a labor, there's a participation that we have in this. And as we do this with faithfulness, God's response is abundance. God's response is reaping in abundance. We had the opportunity this past fall to go to the Salt and Light Leadership Conference up in Fargo, and the speaker was Dr. Michael Brown. And he shared this testimony about how, you know, he was this drugged out hippie in the late 60s and 70s. And I know today hippies are cool, but back then they were a reproach. Back then they were just reprobates of culture. We didn't want them around. They were rebellious. And so all of a sudden the Spirit of God started moving on the hippie culture. And all these hippies, they didn't know what else to do except to go to church. And so you've got these unbathed, these unwashed, these unclean, these pot people who just reek of pot coming into church. He says the problem was the church wasn't ready for them. And so they were resistant and kept them at a distance. Like I said, today hippies are cool, so we wouldn't have that same issue. But then he challenges us in this. He says, what if the Spirit of God started moving on the gay and lesbian and transgender, the sexually confused community, and they started coming into our churches? Would we be ready for them? See, what we sow to today completely determines the measure of harvest that we reap tomorrow. It's important what we give ourselves to and how we sow into the purposes of God today. Because He's got something great. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what's coming up. But I want with everything in my being to be ready for Him. And to have my heart cultivated, the soil of my heart soft and tender and responsive so that I can receive the rain that He wants to pour out. So that growth and maturity and abundance, that fruitfulness will be there when God moves. So whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Where do you want the Lord to meet you in abundance, and how are you sowing to that harvest? See, the farmer needs two things. He needs faith, he needs a faith-filled vision, and he needs intentionality. He needs a faithful vision. The farmer didn't get into farming because I just love digging up dirt. I just love turning it over. That's it. Just let me get out there and turn over dirt. That's all I want to do. The farmer didn't get into farming because he just likes throwing seed around or pouring out water. Just like wherever I go, I just love pouring out water. That's all I want to do. Well, the farmer got into farming because he wanted to see a harvest. He wanted to see fruitfulness. He wanted to see increase. He wanted to receive the reward of that harvest. Out of that vision, out of faith in that, that as you sow a seed, it's going to produce fruit. The farmer is faithful and diligent in the labor that he does. He's faithful to till up the ground. He's faithful to sow the seed. He's faithful to bring water because he has a greater vision for the abundance that God wants to bring and release through his efforts. And so where do you want the Lord to meet you in abundance, and how are you sowing to that harvest? I think it's interesting, Paul's instruction here, Paul's response in that. He said, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There are certain things in the Scripture that we know absolutely for sure that are forbidden. Certain things in Scripture that we know without any question that we are instructed to do. And then there's everything else in between that we kind of have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Should you be generous? Absolutely. I can tell you with all authority, you should be generous. How generous? Well, that's where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in us. And so, Paul's instruction here is not a certain measure that we, not a certain threshold that we have to at least hit. Paul's instruction to us here is to live thoughtfully. Paul's instruction is to live purposefully. Paul's instruction is to give thought to these things. How many want to be more generous this year than they were last year? How do you plan on doing that? And in that, there's the thoughtful consideration. In that's the stewardship. In that's the taking account. In that was where we give the Holy Spirit room to have a voice in our lives. To say, you know what, look at this area. Look at how much time you're spending here. Look at how much money you're spending here. Look at the way this is pulling you away from opportunities for generosity. And in that, the Holy Spirit begins to release us to move in greater generosity. And in that, so we've got this idea sometimes that being a generous person just means that wherever you go, it's just sort of the sporadic, spontaneous thing, and I'm just gonna give to whatever opportunity comes. And a lot of times we've all experienced this, we feel overwhelmed. It's too much. I can't give all that. I can't do all this. I can't live up to all these expectations. I can't, you know what? I gotta feed my own family. I gotta take time for them. I gotta all these things. As opposed to what Paul is saying, he says, give thoughtful, intentional consideration to how you are to give. And you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and search you and know you, to examine your life, to bring things up that are saying, hey, even Paul says, listen, all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying or fruitful. There's thoughtful consideration. We all have X amount of time. We all have X amount of resources. We all have X amount of energy to give. But when the thoughtful consideration and the thoughtful planning of it, we begin to order our lives. I love, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but God, this is what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. Someone is saying, Lord, I want to increase my generosity of time. I want to increase my generosity in finances. I want to increase the effort that I put forward to something. He loves this, and He responds, and He meets us in this. Jesus tells the parable of the servants with the talents. And his heart in this isn't, you know, he gave one servant 10, and they produced another 10. And he gave one servant one, and they only produced one. But he wasn't saying, well, I'm really happy with this one, but not so happy with this one over here. In fact, there's one servant who just buried his talent in the ground. And that was the one who got rebuked. That was the one that says, why didn't you just put it in the bank so it would collect some interest? Just some measure of growth. And the thing that, I mean, Jesus is giving this parable in the context of teaching about the end times. And here's the thing is, when he returns, he's coming back and he's looking for increase. That's what will please him. He's looking for increase. What have I given to you in time? What have I given to you in energy? What have I given to you in resources? And how have you sown it to bring increase? That's the standard, is that you would use what he's given to you. It's called stewardship. That we would steward our finances, we would steward our time, we would steward our energy in all these things so that we can bring him increase. Where are you expecting to see God move in abundance, and how are you sowing to that? So what this means is, for me as a husband, is I've been given a wife, and I'm to steward that relationship. Here's the thing. Paul instructs us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might purify for himself a bride. Her sanctification. He's coming back, and he's going to judge me on the increase of righteousness in her, and how I tended to that and stewarded that. For what that looks like in my life a lot of times is making sure she's having time with the Lord. It's clearing her plate so that she can go to ladies' nights or ladies' retreats or ladies' Bible studies. I'm the one who's tending to that. I'm stewarding that. I'm making sure she has those things and those places in her life. She's not taking on burdens she shouldn't be taking on so that she can give herself fully to the Lord's purposes. God, Lord's coming back and he's looking for an increase in my marriage. He's coming back and he's looking for an increase in my family. I'm to be a steward of my children, which means, yes, there's financial obligations in that, but more importantly, he's looking for an increase of righteousness. He's looking for an increase of faith. He's looking for what he's sown into me to be sown into them and multiplied, which means that I've got to tend to their hearts. I've got to make sure that I've got to find out where they're at and not just simply tell them what to do, but to walk alongside them in it. Jen and I were out the other night and we went to Chili's, and apparently there was some sort of father-daughter thing going on. And we were amazed at how many children and parents, dads and daughters, out to dinner. But he's going to judge us on the increase that we bring. He's going to judge us on the increase that we sow into one another. We just finished our value series where we talked about how we're built into one another and members of one another, and we belong to one another, and we're members of the same body. Are you your brother's keeper? Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you sow, so shall you reap. And he's given us one another and placed us in this body with the obligation that we are to be tending to one another. Sometimes that means financially. Sometimes that means with words of encouragement. Sometimes that means with teaching. Sometimes that means with acts of service. That's why when we think generosity and we just think finances, we're missing a big part of the picture. That living generously, sowing generously, involves our entire lives. But in that, God promises a reward. He promises to bring abundance. He promises to bring increase. And it means that for you and I, as ministers of reconciliation, he's coming to judge on increase in our community. How have we sown into the kingdom in our community? Sometimes that's financially, sometimes that's with energy, sometimes that's just with giving time. How have we worked and labored towards fruitfulness and abundance with our neighbors, with our coworkers in our city? And so I love Paul's heart sometimes. It comes through. So what he's saying here is that each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart. He's saying, you know what, this is between you and the Holy Spirit. But remember, as you sow, so shall you reap. And so this is between you and the Holy Spirit, but I encourage you, go for generosity. Go for abundance. Get a vision of what God wants to do in you and through you and give yourself to that. Because he promises he who sows generously will reap in abundance. Where do you want the Lord to meet you in abundance? And how are you sowing to that reality? Paul concludes with a promise. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul concludes with a promise of blessing, contentment, and abundance. Because we chose to live generously, because we chose to sow generously. He promises blessing on our lives. Jesus says, those who have been faithful a little will be entrusted with much. He actually desires to bring increase into our lives, increase in spiritual authority, increase in influence, increase, as we shared last week, in the release of kingdom resources, kingdom grace and power and love and compassion, preaching the gospel with authority. He wants to see us enlarged in all these things. And here's the thing, as we are giving thoughtful and intentional stewardship of our lives, he actually responds with abundance. He actually brings us into a place of increase because we've been faithful. So that's the problem with the poverty mindset of saying, I just don't have enough. We start tending to what we have. We start realizing what we do have. And we begin to sow out of that. And he promises abundance. Where do you want the Lord to meet you with abundance? And how are you sowing towards it? He promises blessing. He promises contentment. Dave Ramsey, we went through the Financial Peace University early last year, and he talked about just early on, just in laying out a budget of your money. And he shares this story about a guy that realized he was spending like $1,200 a month on eating out. He said, they realized we've got to get this under control. And he said, once he did that, he said, it felt like I got a raise. Because I realized I wasn't just blowing all this money on eating out all the time. See, sometimes this is why taking thoughtful, intentional stock, consideration, looking at our lives and being mindful of this is what it actually does, is it actually begins to show us. Sometimes people say, I just don't have the time. You invite the Holy Spirit to start searching you like this. Say, Lord, I want to grow in being able to give more, but I don't know where the time is going to come from. Suddenly he'll start bringing in all the time wasters that are in our lives. All of us, I have them as well. There are things I'm just like, I need to get off of this. I need to stop this. This is just killing me. Put the phone in the other room, turn it off, and have a meal with your family. Right? So much time is just sucked up in so many other things. But he actually wants to bring light to these things and say, you've got more to give here. And as we do that, he's faithful to respond in that. He actually, and in that, see, contentment is saying it's being jealous of what other people have and not being satisfied with what he's given you. And when we start giving thoughtful consideration to our lives, to our finances, to our times, he actually begins to show us all that we have in him. And there's contentment in that. Thank you, Lord. We actually well up with gratitude. Thank you for all that you've provided. Thank you for all that I have to give. Thank you for all the ways that you're using me. And he promises abundance in this. He says, you will abound in every good work because greater focus in our lives yields greater fruit. It's looking at a life through the lens of, see, we can be scattered, we can be hitting all sorts of things and never really hitting effectiveness, never really hitting fruitfulness. And so when we begin to give thoughtful, intentional consideration to our lives and where we're expending our energy and our finances and our time, and we begin to bring focus into our lives, into where we want to see God bring abundance, and we start sowing with that extra that we've discovered now. We start sowing to that. It brings greater focus and greater intentionality to that. It means fewer programs, but greater effectiveness. And sometimes we think, okay, so I'm only allowed to do this. Okay, I just got to do one thing. Okay, whew, and I could just take it easy. But no, here's the one thing. And I'm gonna bring excellence to that. Because with what I'm just choosing to give myself to. So as I close, here's just the summary of it. Where do you want to see God meet you in abundance, and how are you sowing that towards that? So the principle is this: whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. And so the action for us is to just invite the Holy Spirit in to search our hearts, to search our lives. You know what? Lord, search my finances. Search my finances. Show me where I'm sowing into futility, because I want to invest in eternity. Show me the things where I'm just being wasteful and foolish with. Give me wisdom. Lord, search my schedule. Search how I spend my time. Show me the waster. Show me where I'm sowing to futility, sowing to foolishness, because I want to give my life for what counts in eternity. Because I want to reap an abundance. Because the promise is this: you will abound in every good work. See, it's not just simply a focusing so that I got a lot less pressure on my life. It's focusing on increase. Let it rain, Lord. He always seems to have these prophetic rainfalls too. Right? It's not just, the whole point is if it's just simply, you know, I'm going to say no to all these things just so I can take it easy, we're missing the whole point. But if I'm saying no to all these things because God has called me with greater focus and greater intentionality into fruitfulness and into abundance. That's what He wants to release through each one of us. It's not name it, claim it. It's not health and wealth. It's just simply the promise of God, the word, the abundance that He wants to see His church moving in. The abundance of power, the abundance of love, the abundance of righteousness, the abundance of fruitfulness, the increase, the response to on people's hearts in the gospel. To see lives change, to see the church moving in strength and in power, to see multiplication happening here. That's always his heart. Even Jesus says, listen, abide in me so that you can be fruitful, so that you could see answer to prayer. We look at so many things, pull out our finances, pull out our attention, pull out our energy. But Lord, I wanna sow with greater focus and greater intentionality into things that matter for eternity. So this is what He calls us to, because He's wanting a greater measure for us. Amen. Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for all that You want to do in us. We thank You, Lord, that it's beyond what we could ask or imagine. You desire to bring glory to Your name through Your church. And so, Father, we want to walk in that abundance. We want to walk in that greater reality that's beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Lord, we want that reality to be present in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite You just to search us and know us. We invite You to highlight every area of our lives, Father, that You want to get a hold of. Lord, that You want to bring wisdom to, that you want to use for fruitfulness and abundance in Your kingdom. And Lord, we just yield once again, all of us, all of our lives to You. And Father, Lord, we just submit to You every part of our lives, Father, our finances, our time, Lord, our energy, Lord, the focus, Father, that you desire us to have. Lord, I ask that You would work in us a kingdom-mindedness, a greater intentionality, Lord, a greater vision of all that You desire to do in our city, in our fellowship, in our families, in us, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, we can't do this apart from You, and so we welcome Your work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.